Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my home near Branson, Missouri. And I'm talking to you about what the Lord said to me concerning 2014. He said to me in few words, for I knew what he meant. In 2014, the church must don glory. D-O-N. D-O-N, don, means put on as an item of clothing. Put on, get dressed in, dress oneself in, get into. The church must don glory. And immediately when he said that to me, my mind went to Esther. And when she was going to go before the king, it is translated like this from the Hebrew into English. Art Scrolls translates it chapter 5, verse 1. Now, you won't see this in the King James translation, but it's very plain in the Hebrew to English translation. Now, it came to pass on the third day, Esther donned royalty and stood in the inner court of the king's palace. According to the Talmud, the oral tradition, the word royalty refers not to clothing, but to spiritual royalty. In other words, the Holy Spirit clothed her. Esther donned or put on the Holy Ghost. And of course, the glory of God is the presence of God, and the glory of God is the Spirit of God. It says in Romans 8:11 that the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. It says in Romans chapter 6, I believe it is, or 4, that the glory of God raised him from the dead. So we see that the Spirit of God and the glory of God raised Jesus from the dead. It's one and the same. The Spirit of God, the glory of God, is the Spirit of God manifested. And every time the glory of God is spoken of in the Bible, it manifested in such a way that it could be seen, it could be known. It was known that the glory of God was present. Jerry Savelle also, at the beginning of this year, he always seeks the Lord for the next year coming. When you seek, you find. And he preached about this at EMIC, Eagle Mountain International Church, on a Wednesday night about mid to late December. I'm not sure which night. They probably have it archived. Jerry Savelle spoke on what the Lord had said to him, that we must in 2014, we will in 2014 see the glory of God with the church and in the church. It was so powerful that Pastor George Pearson's and his church have made it their aim to put on, to don the glory of God. Just yesterday, as I'm making this December 30th, and December 29th, Sunday, you can go on EMIC and you can see there on the archives how Brother George and Pearson's and Terry, his wife, the pastors, they're aiming for their church to put on the glory this year. We're doing certain things. We're going to have a seminar in Collinsville, Oklahoma. I had scheduled it for the very first of the year, but then I wasn't quite ready for it. The Lord told me the dates are wrong, so it's going to be coming up really soon. And we're going to be going back to the place where I received the revelation of the glory of God. Now, in my book, The Blood and the Glory, I have a chapter 4, The Revelation of the Glory and How It Came. Life in the early 1970s was busy and happy for me. At home, I was a wife and mother of 4. At work, I was editor of publications for a minister who had been charged by the Lord to put all his teachings into printed form. That minister was Kenneth E. Hagin. If you've ever read his book, I Believe in Visions, you can see that there was a unique call on this man to help prepare the way of the second coming of the Lord. My job was to help him put all his teachings into printed form by editing them. I would listen as he taught. And I would get, at first, I had to do the transcribing myself. But then afterwards, you know, we We hired someone, we hired Berta Bass after a while to transcribe. And she has just recently, in 2012, resigned. Now, she was working there in the 1970s. So she's like a walking encyclopedia on the things Kenneth E. Hagin said. I often say, now, where did he say this? Go back to her. But my job was to edit what he taught into, I did a Word of Faith magazine and books. And many of the books that I did, even when I worked for him as the editor, have reached around the globe and multiplied millions. And the Lord spoke to me recently about that time of my ministry and about the fruit of it. And so I'm very thankful for that phase. Not only did I get the opportunity to help him put things into print, but I got to learn. Other people were blessed, and I, Billy Brim, was learned and taught. For instance, I'd known that I had been called to the ministry since I was a little girl, but my denomination said that girls couldn't preach. So not long after I came to work for Brother Hagin, there was something going around in the body of Christ at that time, heavy submission teaching. Women could hardly do anything. And my denomination, my own denomination, which was not a part of the charismatic move, but it had said for years that women could only preach like in China. We could send missionaries to China and around the world, but in a local church, they could only teach like junior department or so forth. So, but when I came to work for Brother Hagin, partly to correct the error that was going in the church in those days on a wide scale, heavy submission of women, Brother Hagin did a seminar. This is the way it worked. On the woman question. I translated it, put it on paper, and then I would edit it for a book, send out the print. And we didn't have these computers in those days. We had to send out the copy, send it to the print shop. The print shop sent back the galleys. We read them. We corrected the error, sent it back to the print shop. It was quite a to-do. Jared, my grandson, sitting across from me, he does these things right now, and I thought, if he only knew the steps that we used to have to take to get something done. So it was quite a job, but very much easier than hand printing years and years earlier. In fact, when they got movable type and they were able to put God's word into print, it made great strides for Christianity around the world and the common man to know God's blessed, precious word. And so I was sitting in my office at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and I was editing the book, The Woman Question, and I saw quite clearly in there that I could preach. I began to cry. I said, oh, Lord, do you mean that I can answer that call on my life since I was 3 years old and not get in trouble at the judgment seat of Christ? There was a presence in the room. I don't know if it was an angel, if it was God, a Jesus. And the presence, I didn't look up. I just kept my face over the typewriter. And I heard in my spirit that voice that so seems audible, even though I'm sure it wasn't. But he said, yes, and one day you will leave this place and go out into ministry. But right now, this is your Bible school. You don't know much, and this is your Bible school. I'd been born again 20 years before I received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. But my Bible school began after I had this glorious teacher, the Holy Ghost, inside me. The book, the Word, became alive. And thank God, he sent me to work for Kenneth Hagin and to do his teachings, which are so sound, so solid. I push them everywhere I go. My grandchildren listen to him on YouTube. Thank God he's on YouTube, and he's so many places you can hear him. At the same time that I was learning these wonderful things, it was the charismatic move. That's what had gotten me into being baptized in the Holy Spirit in the first place. And so in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where we went to church, there was a charismatic church, but it came so involved in all of that heavy denominational, submission teaching. It was pitiful. It was terrible. And thank God it didn't last. It's gone, and we trust it's gone forever. But we had to change churches because of it. We couldn't go to the one we were going to there in Tulsa. And so someone called me and said, you know, there's a church in Collinsville, that's about 21 miles north of Tulsa, that you can lift your hands. And so to us, that was the greatest thing, just to be able to lift your hands in a local church. So we went to the Friends Church in Collinsville, Oklahoma, and 519 North 19th Street, I think it is. The pastor was Cooper Beatty. And my husband and I walked in the back door, and we absolutely were thrilled with the loving spirit in that place. There weren't many people, but we were just thrilled with the loving spirit. And they had recently had a move of, I've forgotten what they did call those, the Methodists. This Holy Ghost move was going among the Methodists, and they had come there and had a series of meetings. A lot of people had been baptized in the Spirit, not the pastor, but a lot of the congregation has. And we lifted our hands and praised the Lord. And I remember I stood up against a wall, lifted my hands and praised the Lord, and slid down that wall. I don't know what Brother Cooper Beatty thought of me. I'm going to ask him because I'm going to go interview him. He's upwards of 90 years old. And I want to get what he saw that was happening at that time while he's still with us here. And so that church became a wonderful place for us. Of course, we went to the Sunday school class, and the Sunday school class was in the choir loft. There were about eight people up there, and one of the men had just gotten back to the Lord. He raised his hand, and he said, "I want to give a testimony." He said, I want to testify that when you make a vow to the Lord, He will remind you of it. He said, "When I was 12 years old, I vowed I would never go to a picture show. And if I did go to a picture show, the Lord could break both my arms." He said, "I'm now 35. And he said, "I just was riding a bronc in a rodeo." He said, "When I was 18, there came a picture show about football. And I went to it. And I got by with it until just this past week. I was riding a bronc. And it threw me and I broke both my arms." And my husband started punching me. I had just done a book for Brother Hagin called Don't Blame God, How People Blame God for Things. And I said, "Oh, brother, that wasn't God collecting on a little boy's foolish vow. That was the devil. Because you recently just got back to God. You walked the aisle of this very church to get back to God after your accident. And it's the devil trying to get you off." He raised his little broken wing. And he said, "I nominate this woman to be our Sunday school teacher." The Sunday school teacher himself said, "I second the motion." And the next Sunday, I was the Sunday school teacher at the Friends Church in Collinsville, Oklahoma. And at that point, I began to receive the revelation of the glory. You can even read about this in my book, The Blood and the Glory, which we're offering this week for only $7. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 and request The Blood and the Glory. And tomorrow, I'll start telling you about the wonderful things that happened in that Sunday school class where Wayne Tiefetiller, you might know his mother, had just come back to God and nominated me to be the Sunday school teacher. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.